Ba-da-bum-bum-ba-da. Okay, hey, it's Teach a Kid to Read podcast. As always, I'm Tony Criz. And today, I'm with my friend, Pastor Herman Green. Pastor Herman Green of North Portland. Actually, we're like neighbors. We live like maybe a mile apart. And Pastor Green, he is the pastor of Abundant Life Church. He is a husband of Nike, a wonderful, transformative community activist.
Amazing.
He's father of five?
Four.
Four. Grandfather of two?
Three.
Grandfather of three. I'm getting all my numbers wrong. But member of the community, member of the Portland School Board, which we'll get into later. But Herman, how are you? Great to see you.
Family, I am extremely excellent. I am super excited about being on this podcast with you. Like I was saying earlier, this is my first actual podcast that I've actually been on. I built a podcast studio for our community efforts and haven't even made a podcast yet. So this is actually my first one, and I'm really stoked about it.
All right. There's so many things I want to get into. The first thing I want to just hit on is you notice my t-shirt today says literacy and justice for all.
For all.
Literacy and justice for all. And could you just comment? I know I'm totally jumping, but could comment on the relationship between literacy and justice?
Well, I feel like literacy, the ability to read, the ability to understand and to comprehend, is a right that every individual should have. Like, everyone should be able to read. Everyone should be able to comprehend. Everyone should be able to pick up a document and then know what that document says. And so the fact that we have some that aren't able to do that, to me, is an injustice. We storm buildings for different reasons. We should be storming buildings and school halls all across the nation saying, my child can't read, and that is unacceptable. Change whatever policy, change whatever law, change whatever you have to change to ensure that my child has the understanding and the ability to read. And that's a justice issue, not just one person's issue. That should be everybody's issue.
Yeah, literacy is about, it is about access.
Correct.
Literacy is about hope. Literacy is about opportunity. Literacy is about a future. And if those things are not equally shared by all people, it's inherently a justice issue, an injustice issue. And like our friend Ron Fairchild says, one of the greatest determining factors as to whether you grow up literate or illiterate is your zip code. And if a person's future is determined by the zip code they live in, it must inherently be a justice issue. Where certain issues have access where certain zip codes have access and other zip codes do not.
And that's the issue, access and exposure. And so we have to make sure, we have to do everything within our power to make sure that everyone within our zip code, if you want to base it on a zip code, but everyone within our sphere of influence, the circles that we have, that we're doing everything that we can to make sure that every child can read. And it shouldn't be determined based on your complexion. It shouldn't be determined based on those things. This every child needs to be able to read, period. There's no other things, just period. Put a period on that. Every child should be able to read, period.
Love it. Okay, so I'm going to back up now. We've been doing this podcast for a while now. We've got dozens of episodes. We've had lots of people. We've had national leaders talking about literacy. We've had program directors, that people you know who are working in multiple cities or are working across entire regions or throughout large cities. And I think you're my first guest who has done a DIY, do-it-yourself, full-service literacy program right in your neighborhood, for your neighborhood, for your people, for your community. And I want to get into that, and I want to hear about what that process has been like for you. How does that sound?
That sounds like a plan to me. I love it.
So first, just describe kind of the community that you and your family have grown up in, have been living in for decades, mm-hmm. what that community is like, and why a literacy program, when you, I mean, you are, you've been involved in community development work. You've been involved in community transformation work, obviously involved in spiritual transformation work as a pastor for decades. And then suddenly you've had this epiphany that literacy's got to be one of my big rocks.
Yeah.
In the jar of my life, I got big rocks, I got small rocks, I got pebbles, I got sand. And one of my big rocks moving forward has got to be literacy. Why? So describe your neighborhood and why has literacy become one of your big rocks?
So I live in North Portland and have lived in North Portland for over 30 years now. I've seen my neighborhood grow. I've seen people be displaced due to gentrification. I've seen the bright sides of my community, and I've also seen the low points of my community. And so I've seen every aspect of it, and I still love it. I love my community. Even with the gentrification that's happening, I don't believe that people came into this to this community thinking, oh man, we're going to move them out of here so that we can live here now. I believe it was more around, I want to be a part of the solution. I want to be a part of the transformation. I want to be a part of the change. And so I'm going to find a home that's available. I'm going to move in here, and then I'm going to be a part of it versus trying to do something from afar. The systems that push gentrification are an issue, not the people. So I love my community and I love everybody in it. I love every aspect of it. What I noticed in my community is that as the violence trends begin to go up, and we started seeing more things that were the dark sides of our community, it wasn't because people didn't want better. It was because people didn't have access to better. And so you had kids who had, they've been going to school and they've been doing, and at some point in their education career, they stopped dreaming. They stopped believing that they could be astronauts. They stopped believing that they were going to be doctors and scientists. They stopped believing that they could do all of these things. And they started getting in trouble more in the classroom. And that's where I believe the breakdown of our community and our society is happening. It's in that those fundamental areas where the child or the young person no longer feels accepted in his classroom. He no longer feels like he belongs there. He no longer feels like, or she feels like she fits there. And instead of being looked at as someone who doesn't fit, someone who doesn't belong, someone who isn't accepted, then they start acting out. And I believe that acting out is to get attention, to raise awareness that I've got an issue that I can't share with the rest of my class or the rest of my peers. And they start getting pushed out of class more. When we started building our programs, it was with those kids in mind. So every program that we've ever created has been about those kids, the ones that don't feel like they belong, the ones that don't feel like they fit, the ones that don't feel like society is going to accept them. Everything that we've done has been about helping them to realize that you're not forgotten. We still need you. We still want you. We still love you. We still care about you. And we still believe that you can actually be those things that you dreamed about in third grade. So what are we going to do to help you, you know, achieve that? And that's every program that we've ever built has that foundation. And so it always says a place for you to belong, because that's what we're going to be.
Yeah. It's so much about under-resourced kids.
Yeah.
And the resources take a lot of forms. Resources are about, do I show up to school with a full belly and a full night's sleep? Do I have those resources? It means, do I show up to school? Do I have the self-esteem resources, the emotional, supportive resources around me? Is my world, is my community, are they telling me that I have a future and a hope, that I'm truly equal, that I'm truly a part of what's going on, that I'm a part of the dream, or am I not receiving those things? And then you got to come along, and you and your church community and your family have spent decades trying to fill in those gaps, to bring the resources to bear so that we truly are all free in the same way.
Because why should they have to, what we're telling, what we tell our kids a lot of times is that you can have access to this. We're going to pick you up and we're going to take you over here to this space that's 10 miles away from their community or 20 miles or whatever it is away from their community. And the message that we're inadvertently sending to our kids is you can have good things, just not in your community. You can have access to wonderful things, just not in your community. So you can get these things, but we're going to have to bus you out and take you out to these other places. And that way, now you can win. So we want to put this here, top-notch equipment. We want to put the best educators. We want to put, you know what I'm saying, the best information here so that you don't have to leave your community to get it. And we're working with our families because what we realize is that the families and the moms and the dads in this community, some of them are working, you know, 2 and 3 jobs to try to make sure that they can provide for their family. Right. So we don't want to paint this message as if the families, the moms and the dads, that they're not doing their job or they're not capable of doing it. They need some help the same way their kids need some help. Right. Because they're out here working 2 and 3 jobs, trying to make sure that the lights stay on and that there's food on the table. And then when they come home, they're physically and, you know, emotionally exhausted. And what am I going to tell you? Well, if you would just do more, if you would just work harder, then your kids would be okay. No, I'm not doing that. So what we do is we work with our families. That's why everything that we do is it's about the whole family being involved and part of the process. We work with the moms. We work with the dads. We work with the grandparents. And we don't, the reason that we don't charge is because regardless of what it is, how much it is, it would become a barrier. Because if they can't afford to pay, you know, $10, and we say $10 ain't no money. Well, $10 is the difference between do I get put you in here or do I buy bread and lunch meat for the rest of the week? So it may not be a lot of money to you, but it's a decision, you know, for some of our families.
Okay, let's get a little bit more into some of the specifics. Before we even talk about Lit Camp, your literacy program, you've been in this work, this world, you've been creating a tapestry of resources, programs, care. You've got B-Town Kids. You've got, I mean, your church is a small church. I mean, square footage wise, I don't even know. You know, it's a few thousand feet or whatever. And yet, just talk through everything you've got just inside the way you've turned your church building into a community center for the entire neighborhood.
So the way that I look at the way that I look at it is if the church or the community was a quilt, then the church should be the center patch that everything, all the thread runs through, right? So every patch, every has to run through and touch the center patch. And if you pull that center patch out, then you actually, you disrupt the fabric, you disrupt the rest of the quilt in that it's not sustainable anymore because you pulled out that center patch. In order to do that, you have to be prepared to serve the entire community, right? And so when we start looking at who we want to serve, it wasn't we want to serve churchgoers because our community isn't full of churchgoers. There's some people that live in our community that don't believe in the church. They don't believe in Christ. They don't believe in the same thing that we believe in. That does not mean that we have a right not to serve them. The church is supposed to be here to serve everyone, right? And so we started putting together, you know, we started looking at, let's do a computer lab. Because I was thinking we need to give people access and exposure to, you know, help them with their resumes. And then a good friend of mine, Jackie Murphy, she comes in and she says, Pastor Herman, that's cool and all, but a computer lab might help 1 or 2 people. What if we looked at converting this room, we started with the room, into like a steam room? And so we started talking about what that could look like. And then I said, well,
steam is what?
It is what? Science, technology, engineering, arts, and math. Because I
want to make sure everybody knows that term. Yep.
Okay. Because I believe that as a church, we should serve the whole person and not just the spiritual person. take care of the natural need as well as the spiritual need. And so we have 3D, a room downstairs that's got like six 3D printers. It's got a Glowforge in there. It's, we've got another room where you can do t-shirt design, and you can create your own t-shirt. We've got a green screen room downstairs. We've got a game room downstairs. We've got a clothes closet downstairs, and then upstairs, we just recently made a podcast room. And what we're doing is we're teaching kids at a very early age how to create their own 3D pieces, how to fly drones, how to make cups, how to do these different types of things that if they learn how to do it today, then it can make them money on tomorrow. If they start putting together their own design work and their own t-shirt stuff, well, get six or seven of their friends to wear their t-shirts, then they can create their own brand. And so we have the green screen room so that we can teach them about, you know, how you create your own background, and you can be anywhere in the world doing stuff right here. With the podcast room, so that you can tell your own story about what's important to you to a community that will connect with you. None of these things are directly connected to the church, but as a church, what we said is we want to open up our doors so that 7 days a week, the church can serve a community. Whether they like us or hate us, 7 days a week, we're going to keep the doors open so that we can serve the community. The Lit Camp became another expression that we were offering.
Yeah, and you also have every Saturday, you do basically a carnival at the park in the middle of a low income housing neighborhood that's not far from your church and the Ville. Just do a festival, hundreds of kids show up every Saturday, and feed them and play with them and teach them skills and
bounce houses, face painting, hamburgers, hot dogs, snow cones at the end. And that is also a family vibe, right? And so we would do is have the, instead of just, a lot of this, like, we want to make sure the kids eat. I want to make sure the whole family eats. And so what I would have the people do is, as a family, you go through the line together so that you can sit down and eat together. And then we do every holiday season. Last year we gave out over 600 holiday baskets to the community to say thank you for your service, and thank you for loving, thank you for not giving up. We served probably like 200 families at our Christmas Dignity store. And that's a store that's designed for parents to come in, and they get to volunteer some time, and then they get to shop for their family. And because, it's not about giving people a handout, it's about giving them the hand up. And
I love the fact that all of your programs are integrative, in the sense that you're not just thinking about kids. You're thinking about kids and their siblings. You're thinking about kids and their parents. You're thinking about like this B-Town Kids program. You've got teenage kids in the neighborhood who are actually leading the younger kids. So you're doing leadership development in the midst of caring for the needs of young kids and bringing in the whole family into the process. Everything is integrative. Thinking about how can we make sure we're touching as many lives as possible. And out of that, you created Lit Camp. Now, here's what I want to start with on Lit Camp. You are a member of the Portland School Board.
Mm-hmm.
You are pro school. In fact, you put yourself on the firing line to be in the school board so that you could stand in the gap on behalf of the schools of our city. And then you went out and you started a literacy program out of your church apart from the school. Explain to me how you are defending the schools while also doing an independent program apart from them.
Absolutely. So being on the school board was the next step. A lot of the stuff that we do, as far as like the work that we serve, it transforms moments, right? So it's a moment of transformation, and you continue to build on these moments of transformation that you're doing each time, and connecting and bringing different people in. And yet these moments keep changing. And so that's what those are. When I got on the school board, it was because I wanted to be a part of systemic change. So when you, as you're, when you get on something like a school board, you start looking at and you start addressing policies and procedures and, you know, what it takes to drive the entire ship that's going to be transformative for not just a community or one group, but for everyone that's a part of it. And so that was my, that was my next step. It was to be a part of a transformation that would change a system change. Now, when I started the Lit Camp, it was, I feel like the school system is one aspect, but the school system can't do it alone. The school system needs other partners to come alongside to take up the slack. The, we have educators within our school systems who have dedicated their entire lives to making things better for the kids that they serve. They've given up their own money. They've given up their own resources. What we're coming along the side and saying, we see you and we're going to do our part to try to help you, to try to lift, because this is a heavy lift. Literacy for all is a heavy lift. Justice for all, when we start talking about literacy as justice for all, that is a heavy lift and no one organization can do it by themselves. We need everybody doing their part. And so the school system is going to do its part, but then I have an obligation to do my part. And that's what I'm doing. And that's what I want to see happen across the next few years, where we start saying, okay, if they can do it, then we can too. And then we all get on board instead of pointing fingers to say, man, that school system sucks. And they're not teaching my kids. And they're not doing this. And they're not doing that. I want to know, what are you doing? What are you doing to be a part of the change that we need to see within our kids, besides pointing to say the teacher isn't doing it? The teacher cannot do it all by herself. They can't. They need us to come alongside and say, we see you, and this is what we're going to do to support you.
Love it. And so out of that, you just finished, or you're just in the process of finishing a pilot program for Lit Camp. You just did a summer long.
Yeah.
Camp with a bunch of kids out of your neighborhood, bunch with of teenage mentors, with staff from your church is the, overseeing the process. This is like all day, right? Like you're doing fun, you're doing food, you're doing literacy. But you're doing like literacy. You're not just like sitting around throwing books at them and letting them do their own thing. You're like, you've got a program, like you are taking these kids through, and they are all moving up. Right.
Yes.
In their,
absolutely.
Talk about that.
So we partnered with an agency, Reed Alliance, which is out of New York, and they have a phenomenal program that focuses on the science of reading. And so it's understanding the phonetics, understanding the sounds that letters and words and how those things come together. And that's how we start reading. So it's getting back to the phonics, the science of reading, and we're pushing that. We couldn't do it by ourselves because we didn't have that expertise to begin with. So we connected and partnered with an organization that does. So they provided us with literature. This is some of the base points. They helped us do pre-assessment tests at the beginning, where we read with the kids in the beginning, then we read with them again in the middle, and then we read with them again at the end, so that we can assess where they're at and how they're progressing along the way. And we used teenagers to work with the young people, because what we found and what the data showed is, in addition to the literacy rate of the young people going up, the teenagers that were helping them, they also increased in proficiency. By like a grade level and a half, they increased in proficiency. So now you've got the young people learning and you've got the teens learning. But what you also see is the young people looking up to the teenagers that are working with them, because it's a one-to-one mentee type situation where each young person has one teenager working with them, and they start looking up to one another. So now these teenagers are starting to feel a lot more responsible around how they respond, how they say, or you know, what they say or what they're doing, because these kids all live in the same community with them. So they're going to see them beyond the Lit Camp. They're going to see them, you know, in the middle of the park. They're going to see them on weekends. They're going to see each other. And now they're responsible. It's this thing where each one is teaching one. And it's a beautiful connection point. The church comes in to say, in addition to providing our space, we're going to prepare breakfast for you. We're going to prepare the lunches for you. We're going to make sure that if you guys need any additional materials, we got to go out and buy something. The church is going to come in. We're going to make sure that stuff gets done. If y'all, you know, you need help with, you know, additional help with kids, you know, we're going to be that. So we come in so that we can be the support system to this system, because it's like a baby. You're holding this, and everybody is responsible for it, because everybody wants to see it grow and become something greater than what we were, right? I don't want these kids to be as good as me. They need to be a million times better than me. They need to understand stuff that I didn't even believe was possible. And everybody recognizes that we all have a role to play and making sure that happens for these kids. So it's an exciting time for us.
And it's working, right? The kids are they're all advancing in literacy. You're going to hand, talking about local schools, in the fall, you're going to hand teachers kids that are reading at or above grade level, who would have been two grade levels behind, and now they're going to come in being as supportive kids to the program, as opposed to maybe needing extra work, extra time, pulling away from their classmates.
That is absolutely correct. This is our last week. So this Thursday is our last Thursday. And we're going to be doing a celebration to really point out to the families and to the kids. They're going to get to showcase their work. They're going to be able to talk about all the amazing stuff that they learned, show all the books that they went through, you know, that they progressed through from one level to another level. One kid started at book one and he's on book 20 something right now. And so, you know, we've got these vast differences. And the families are excited about it. The families, they're already asking, so are you guys going to do this through the school year? Because my kid loves it so much. You know, my kid is reading now. That is the plan. Our plan is for every break to be able to offer the lit camp. So that would be during Thanksgiving break. We'll be able to offer for at least 1 week, be able to offer the lit camp. During Christmas break, because they're out for 2 weeks, for at least one of those weeks, we'll be able to offer the lit camp. And then on spring break, we'll be able to offer the lit camp. And so what we're hoping for is whenever school is out of session, our support to the educational system, our support to those schools is to continue to help them move forward in their reading, so that we always think learning loss from a deficit mindset. And it's not. We shouldn't look at it as learning loss. You know, it's like in that they're losing something. It's just the more time they spend reading, the easier it becomes, the more fluent they become at it. So we want to give them as many opportunities to read and understand the phonics of words at this early age, because at this age, first and second grade, they're going through this and they're really figuring it out. They're creating that muscle. They're working that muscle that they will be using for the rest of their educational career, the rest of their lives, really. And so the more we can flex that muscle now to where they're doing this stuff without even thinking about it. So when they come into big words, they already know how to phonetically be able to go through, break down the letters so they can get the word that they're looking for. And this is something that they'll use for the rest of their lives. The kids that are teaching them how to do this, they're learning it also, how to do it themselves, but they're also learning how to teach someone else. So what we're hoping to be able to do is to create a pathway for future educators to say, I started teaching when I was actually in high school. I started teaching how to do this, and they'll create this love for learning. And who knows what we're going to get from it, but we do know that this is going to increase our opportunities, our chances to have a better tomorrow. And so when we say the gun violence is outrageous, it is. One of the things that we can do to stop this from happening moving forward is figure out why it ever started to begin with. And so when we get back to these ages, the first and second and third grade where they're dreaming again, nobody says, I can't wait to grow up and tote a pistol and right. harm someone. They, right. That's not even a thought in their mind. When we get back to this age, now we give them tools so that they can see themselves in a different light. Because before they can ever be something, they have to see themselves in it. This is a holistic program. And yep. again, it takes all of us. It takes all of us.
Yeah, I mean, I spent a couple of days just hanging out at Lit Camp and just enjoying it and seeing what you guys were doing. It was unbelievable. It's every kid has agency in their own learning. Like they all have their own folder. They all know the plan. You're moving around. I mean, this is not summer camp, like play games the whole time. No, this is like they are learning. They are going through the program. They are sitting with their mentor. Their mentor sometimes is 15 years old and some of the sharpest young people I have met yeah. in years. Yes. Unbelievable. All kids from your neighborhood, almost yep. all, I think all of them, kids of color.
Yep.
Unbelievable strength. And the life on life, both representing a future, the sort of like mirroring that's going on between the mentors and the kids. It's really incredible. And then you've got the numbers to back it up that you're really having an impact, which is incredible.
It's the kids do get to have fun. So I believe that's what drives them to work so hard, because these kids. When I say these kids are working hard, these young kids are working so hard. They're pushing themselves to the limit to really phonetically to understand these words. And it's amazing. And they get to go after in the afternoon when they get to go and play in the steam room, and they get to play in the 3D room, or they get to play down there. You get to see a whole nother side of their brain come alive. That right. that innovative side, that creative side, that I'm willing to try and risk it all side. It comes out in these young people, and that's super exciting to see as well. I tell you, one of the greatest things that we did, and this is not to really like push anybody else's thing or not or anything like that, or I'm not trying to sell anybody on anything, but the program that Read Alliance has, it works. It yeah. really, it really, really works. And it's something simple that everybody can do. That's what I love most about it, is it wasn't so overly complicated that you had to have, you know, in the beginning, I was thinking I'm gonna have to figure out how to get a teacher from the school to come and be a part of this in order for this to work. And then I'm thinking about my role as a school board director and how this can be a conflict. And Read Alliance comes in and says, no, you don't have to do that. We're going to train them. And so that, you know, these kids got a certification. That's the other thing. So all the kids that work in our Lit Camp, they got a certification on literacy and the phonics of reading. And so this is something that they could actually use towards future employment as an educator, because they have Great. Been trained. They had to spend 40 hours prior to the Lit Camp going through this literacy training on how to do this. They had to test to show that they could teach. So these kids, I mean, they know their stuff. So the program that they were able to give us is worth every penny. It's worth every
love
penny.
It, love
and
it.
I want to
we'll
see.
Put, we'll put the website in the show notes for Read Alliance, so you can go check them out more, or you could contact childrensliteracyproject.org. And we are happy to connect you with somebody if you want to learn more about Read Alliance. Just a couple more hits before we go, Pastor Green. One is, can you just talk about this program doesn't require a church in your mind, in your philosophy? This doesn't have to be a church. This could be a business. It could be a library. This could be, you know, can you just talk about that? That you're not trying to make a case for churches. You're just saying there's a church in every neighborhood. There's a school in every neighborhood. Churches and schools kind of make a lot of sense with one another, but it doesn't have to be a church.
It does. It absolutely does not. So when I brought up churches, the reason for bringing up churches is because it's easy. So churches, it's easy. It should be, it could be an easy lift for every church in your community. Because like you said, there's for every school, there's at least five churches around that school. And for that, yeah, if not more, and for that, a lot of those churches, I'm not going to just throw something out there, but oftentimes religious spaces, they sit dormant through the week. And so they have a lot of hours. They have a lot of time where these beautiful buildings that we have that have been erected to really feed the community. When you think about the church and the purpose for it, the purpose and the design of the church was to feed the community. It was to care for the community. It was to provide for a community. And somewhere along the way, we shifted and we started focusing on our services versus our need and design to feed the entire community. So I bring up churches because they're easy. You have several rooms, you have classrooms, you have basement areas, you have fellowship halls, you have all of these spaces, sanctuaries that can be transformed and easily used for someone who was wanting to do a literacy camp. And when we start thinking about it, it's a justice issue, which a church is called to be a space that, you know, provides justice. We are justice. What we do is about justice. It's about speaking up for the people who can't speak for themselves. It's about making sure that the doors are open for people who can't open it up for themselves. It's about being a voice for the people that, you know, don't have somebody. So it should be an easy lift. It could be an easy lift for churches, but it does not have to be. I also believe that within our communities, we have businesses that have rooms that are available that aren't being used every single day. And those rooms could very well be turned into a classroom that someone else could come in if your organization, you know, well, we can't do it. Then maybe you can make this space available for someone that needs a space. Because the other thing that's a hot commodity and people don't have is space. You want to do these things, but it costs so much money to just get access to a space. And
right,
if you would donate the space, then somebody else could come in and do the work. And then you could allow your staff to, hey, this is our give back time. So for 1 hour of a day, we're going to pay you to give back, because I feel like everybody should be giving back. The community gives so much to us. We should. This is a way for us to give back and continue to nurture and provide for our community for years to come. So it doesn't have to be a church. Churches are easy. But if you've got a car dealership, then I know you got a room that could be used. If you've got just really any business, a library. If you've got a library, a community library, then you could use that space for X amount of time. Because I do all day, but it doesn't have to be all day. I do all day because I want to make sure that the same way that we're taking care of the kids, we're taking care of the parents. Because right, if you right. provide, we provide this free of service from free of charge from 8 to 3:30. And childcare is absolutely expensive, is outrageous. And parents, a lot of parents can't afford it. And so it takes a lot. So providing it free of charge, then we're saying we're going to make sure that your kids are well taken care of. We're going to make sure that they learn, and we're not going to tap into your pocketbook any more than we need to. Boom.
Fantastic. I want to just touch on a couple more topics just really quickly before I let you go. You've been so generous. You've touched on this a couple times. I just want you to put a button on it, because I know this is one of your heart issues. And again, we're in the same neighborhood. My kids go to schools that are in your neighborhood. We've been around this. We've been around this world our entire life. And my kids are now like 20 and 18, so they're grown. Talk about literacy and violence prevention, and just kind of put a button on that topic, because I know you care about it, and that's one of the reasons why you're in this work.
I care about it a lot. Violence prevention is... Gun violence is something that's absolutely preventable. It is absolutely positively preventable. It does not have to happen. And so if we can begin to show our kids and our young people different options, give them access and exposure, show them, give them that ability to put back or that ability to dream again. Reading, when you start looking, how does reading do that? Reading taps into the imagination of the young person. It allows them to go to a place, to see a thing, to imagine a thing, to wonder about a thing, and to put themselves in the thing more than anything else. And so when they're sitting down with a book and they're reading through this book, they become a part of that story. They can see themselves in it. Their imagination begins to, you know, depending on the book and how much they read, their imagination begins to expand on what is possible in the world. They're not looking to say, you know, well, these are the limitations and this limit and that limit. We don't get limits until we get older. And when we get older, the reason that we get limits is because we have a bunch of people that have gotten older that say, you can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't do that. But when we're younger, our imagination goes wild. When we start giving kids that imagination, we put the hope back that they can do better, that they can go further, that they don't have to do this or they don't have to be this because they saw it around them. They can be something else. Then what we're doing is we're creating a space, we're creating a platform, a narrative where they don't have to see violence as a means to responding to frustration or responding to anger. They can imagine another way. They can think of another possibility. They can create another option because their whole life they've been imagining, thinking, and creating. And we give them the tools by teaching them how to read now. We give them the tools that they'll be able to later use on tomorrow to make different decisions, because they'll make a different decision if they can understand, truly understand the consequences of this action and what this means and what this, they'll think of different possibilities. Well, instead of doing this, what else could you do? Instead of doing that, what else could you do? What are some other ways that you would be able to process this? And because they understand and they comprehend, then they'll be able to, okay, so I could have done this, or it just opens up. And so this is upstream work though, right? So literacy is the upstream.
Yep.
We're going way yep. upstream to say
headwaters.
This is a problem. And so as a result of this problem, if we do nothing, then we know what we're going to get. We know what the potential is. We know what it could be. But if we do something with this, it may not change everything, but it could change something. And who knows what yep. that something could be. And so that's why I yep. feel like we don't have a gun violence problem. We have a literacy problem. We have a reading problem. We have an understanding problem. We have a comprehension problem. Let's tackle it here while simultaneously dealing with this. Simultaneously, we can't. It's not either or, it's both and. And so we're going Love to deal it. With this and we're going to deal with this, so that we can show these kids, the ones that are upstream, that you don't have to go this way. What happens if you forge another road? What happens if you try something different? I know it's never been done before, but I want you to use the imagination that, you know, the same that was in those books when they created those, and try to imagine what the world could look like if you did something different than everybody else. What could that look like? And our kids, they blow our minds every time. I just refuse to lower the bar for our kids, because every time you set a bar, our kids, they meet it. So if we lower the bar, they'll meet the bar that we lowered. But what if we raise the bar? What if we raise the bar to say, not every kid, you know, like, I think third grade is the proficiency mark. You need to be marked by third yep. grade. You need to approve proficiency. What if our bar said, the bar that we placed, said that every child will be, not every child can be. We change one word from can to will. That's the bar. Every child will be proficient by the time they reach third grade. That will change everything that we do moving forward, because the measurement is not the fact that they could have been. They will be. So everything that I do has to.
I love this. I love upstream thinking. I love preventative justice. Like let's stop cleaning up messes, and let's prevent the messes from ever happening, whatever those messes might be that are done against people.
Yeah.
Done against people.
Absolutely.
I love you talking as you exist to foster imagination, to create a culture of imagination. You live in that world and you try and foster that among children and teenagers. As you give them mentoring opportunities and tell them, you have a future and a hope, you have talent, I'm going to trust you, I'm going to give you responsibilities, and insist that you meet those responsibilities and watch their imagination grow. Love all of it. So everybody, this is Pastor Green, Senior Pastor of Abundant Life PDX Church. You can check him out online at abundantlifepdx.org.
.com. Yep, abundantlifepdx.com.
He is the founder of Lit Camp, as well as several other programs in North Portland, a DIY literacy program based out of his church that just completed a summer camp and looking at doing in school year programs through this next year. Just before we go, Pastor Green, what's your imagination? Like when you look to the future and you see the work that you're doing, you see the life of these kids, what is your imagination for the future for your church and beyond?
So, man, I love that question. I really do. I want to see not just our church and that the members that go here. I want the entire community. Like when I see this, I see my entire community, like all of my neighbors, the people across the street, the people down the street. I see them having a passion for all of the young people in our community. Go back to that space where when we say the village raises the child, that each one of us cares so much about the children and tomorrow that we do everything within our range and sphere of influence and possibility to make sure that every child has access to whatever it is that they need in order to be better. And we do this selflessly. Like we're not thinking about what we're going to get from it. We understand that we may never see it ever come to fruition, but that's not going to stop us from doing it today. We're going to invest time, we're going to invest money, we're going to invest resources, we're going to invest skill sets. And we do all of this not thinking about the monetary return, but we do this thinking about we're creating a society that we say we want to end racism, we want to end all of these different things. We do that by showing up for one another selflessly every single day. And it's not about I'm trying to grow my church, I want to be a mega church. I don't care, because what if they never come to church, or what if they go to the church down the street, or what if they, you know, they do something else, or they just want to watch service online? And that shouldn't be why we do things. I see us getting to a place where we're just selflessly giving, we're selflessly sacrificing, we're giving everything that we have because we believe that what we're doing is going to make a difference for tomorrow. So my grandkids, one day they'll be able to look back and say, it was my great, 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 great grandfather who started doing this. And as a result, the entire family was shifted. As a result, the entire community was changed. As a result, I want to leave a legacy that's beyond us. That it's what they say. Great is the person who plants seeds for trees that for trees and shades that they'll never be able to sit under or something weird like that. Basically saying you're giving of yourself, knowing that you'll never be able to benefit from what you're doing today.
Yeah.
But somewhere down the road, someone is going to be grateful. And here's the thing, they may not even be grateful for you. They'll just be grateful that there's a tree here that they can take shade under, that they can benefit from. And so they may never be for you. They may never say your name. And I got to be okay with that. And I'm hoping that we get a community that gets okay with that. They're not concerned with who gets the credit. They're concerned about the work that needs to be done. And then they just want to do it. So that's what I want to see for our church. That's what I want to see from our community. That's these kids. I want these kids here to grow up and be better than we were. I want them to create and invent something that's going to transform the world for the better. And to just know, just knowing that what I'm doing right now is potentially making a way and a space for that. That's enough for me. That's enough for me.
And you're open sourcing this whole thing, abundance mentality. Like you've already got two or three other churches that are talking about starting a program like yours, and you're just giving away all that you've learned. Just everything. Giving it away.
I'm giving away the contacts. I'm giving away this is the space. If I go after a grant, this is the place where I'm going after a grant from. You should apply too. They may give it to you. All this, well, I'm not going to tell nobody because I don't want them to get the money and then I not get the money. Yeah. That's old news. That's old hat. We need to get away from that. That's a scarcity mindset that says there's not enough. I believe that there's more than enough out there. I don't believe that, you know, everything has to come through me. No, it doesn't.
Love it.
What if the church down the street or the business down the street can do it better than I can? Then I'm going to support the business down the street. And we all need to be supportive of one another. We don't have to tear down one person's program in order to build up another program. We need everybody doing a program, and we need to celebrate all the differences that are in each of our program and stop trying to do everything. I mean, we have to, like you say, open source it, give everything away, make it free so that no one has to, I would help you, but you got to pay me. How much is a life worth, bro? Like how much you're putting a price tag on whether or not you can transform. Oh yeah, I got the skills. I got the space. I got all this, but I'm not going to give it to them for free. If they want it, they got to pay me. Isn't the transformation of the child enough? That's got to be payment enough. And so
there you go.
You don't make money off of it, but you might make a difference.
Pastor Green, we could do this all day. You and I love it. But I'm going to wrap this thing up. Everybody, that is Pastor Herman Green. So great to have you, to hear about his literacy program doing out of his church as a component of an overall philosophy of community transformation, caring for everyone, the forgotten, the tossed aside, the least of these all around him. Thank you so much for your time. Give my love to your family, Pastor Green. Everybody, this is Teach a Kid to Read podcast. We're so happy to be here. We believe there's no such thing as an illiterate child. There's only children who no one has loved enough to teach how to read. Let's get out there and make a difference. Again, Teach a Kid to Read podcast. Have a great day.
Have a great day, everybody.
Teach a child to read. Give a child a chance. It's as simple as that.